We see here in 1 Peter 4:8, the brethren are called upon to love one another. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Have fervent charity among yourselves. Among yourselves. I like the way that's said. Among yourselves. Among you and you and you and me and you. See, I don't point directly because I know you're not supposed to do it, so I sort of just go like that. See, but the idea is that there needs to be this love that is among us. It's among us. I love the way it's said. And this charity, this godly love, shall cover the multitude of sins. So let's talk about that. First of all, the brethren are to love one another among themselves with this special love, an agape love. That's what it is in the Greek. And I've heard some folks say, don't make too much of this. And the more and more I think about it, this is a word that we should make a great deal of. This agape love. Or it's far different than the philos love and the other loves that are mentioned in the scripture. Now, before the New Testament times, this word was rarely used until Jesus. Until the cross, until the tremendous sacrifice of Jesus upon Calvary. Before that time, the word simply meant showing kindness to strangers, giving hospitality, being charitable. However, with the coming of the cross and the great sacrifice of Jesus, the word agape took on meaning in the New Testament. All of it own, its own, and it became something that stands out from all of the other loves that are expressed in the Scripture. And not to be boring, but let me just give you five short statements about agape love in the New Testament. It came to mean a volitional love as opposed to purely an emotional love. It indeed is a sacrificial love, so clearly seen in the life of Jesus. And it's a high and a lofty love that's based upon the holy will of God, based upon the character, the movings of the character of God. No other love that we have in the Scripture has roots like that. His impeccable character. This love rises from the character of God, sets it entirely apart from all other loves. And it's a kind of love that God expresses all the time, without fail, all the time, ever since. Ever since God's been in existence, and that always has been, there has been flowing from Him this agape love all the time. And it's a love that we rarely express. I'm not sure we can ever fully express it. As God, we just are not God. This is the love of God, the purest, the most perfect love of all. I can remember in school where instructors seemed to take delight in not making much of this word agape love. And it puzzled me then, and it puzzles me still today. for it is a love that cannot be expressed without talking about the character and the love of God Himself. That's special. That's special. So secondly, if we are to love one another with an agape love, we are speaking of the brethren loving with a sacrificial love. That's difficult. I want to share with you a story of the USS Pueblo after they were captured by the North Koreans. The 82 surviving crew members were thrown into a cruel, brutal captivity. In one particular instance, 13 men were required to sit rigidly in straight chairs for hours on end. And then, after several hours, the door was violently broken open, and a guard came in and with pistol butt beat the man in the first chair, the ear, and in the head with the pistol butt. Or it was a rifle butt, I'm sorry. And then the next day, the door burst open, and the first man in that first chair received another beating into the eyes, the ears, across the nose. And the third day, exactly the same thing. The man was beaten senseless. And knowing that this poor soul could not survive, another sailor stepped forward. And he moved into the first chair and received the beatings that he knew would come. The door was opened, and he too was beaten senselessly. And then the next day, another sailor moved into the first chair. And so on, days on end, each man taking his turn in that chair, that self-sacrifice. And eventually, the guards just gave up in exasperation. That bond, that something, that sacrificial something, that they just could not beat that out of them. They could not beat that sacrificial love. Well, it's a human story. It's a moving story, but it's not really complete because it's a human story. But that's somewhat of an illustration. Agape love is a different kind of a love than we are used to. We're used to brotherly love and parental love. We love our mates. That's all good and godly, but it falls far short of this godly agape love that the Scripture speaks of, that we aren't supposed to make too much of. Often our love is based on warm fuzzies, which is far, far removed from this agape love that Peter is calling the brethren to. The late Dr. James Kennedy had an illustration that he gave at his church at Fort Lauderdale. And it illustrates the sacrificial love of God. This is a condensed version of that illustration. And he said, back in the days of the Great Depression, a man named John Griffith was the controller of a great railroad drawbridge across the Mississippi. One day in the summer of 1937, he took his son Greg, 8-year-old boy, with him to work. And at noon, John Griffith put the bridge up to allow the ships to flow past. And they would then sit up on the observation deck and they ate their lunch. Just a sweet time together. And the time passed suddenly, quickly, and then suddenly there was a screeching of the train whistle, and John Griffith looked at his watch, and it was 1:07. It was time for the Memphis Express, and it was barreling down the tracks. And so he knew he had to let down the bridge. And so he ran to the control tower, and just before throwing the master switch, he looked down and he caught a sight that just stopped his heart. His little boy, Greg, had fallen down into the iron gears of this great drawbridge. And again, the shrieking of the train whistled as it came closer and closer. Greg's leg was caught in the gears, could not get out. And he heard the clicking of the locomotive coming closer and closer, clickety-clack, closer. And that was his son down there. And yet there were 400 passengers on this Memphis Express that was roaring down the tracks. Oh, what to do? Could he? Should he? Shouldn't he? And he buried his head in his arm and pushed the master switch forward. That great massive bridge lowered and crunched into place, just as the Memphis Express roared across the bridge. And when John Griffith looked up, tears streaming down his face, he looked into the passing windows of the train going by. And there were businessmen casually reading their newspaper, smoking their cigars, and finely dressed ladies in the dining car sipping on their coffee. Little children pushing long spoons into their dishes of ice cream. No one looked at the control tower. No one looked at the terrible gearbox below. And with wrenching agony, John Griffith cried out to the steel train going by, "I gave you my son. Don't you care?" And nobody heard. The train passed by. That father's painful cry has just an eerie resemblance to an Old Testament text in Lamentations 1:12, which says, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" The difference between the illustration and reality is this, that God knew before time that his sacrifice of his son would mean nothing, nothing at all to so many people, even after the message had been preached and taught and taught and printed in multiplied billions of copies, and the message had been put into film and it had been penned and put onto radio programs and onto TV programs ad nauseum, still nothing. He knew there would be many people who would think nothing of the great sacrifice at Calvary. But knowing that, yet still, God sent Jesus. And why? Well, I can tell you it was not because of warm fuzzies. And it was not because of philos love or parental love. Had nothing to do with feelings as we normally think of love. It had to do with God's character. The excellencies of the multiplicity of his excellent character, his perfections. It had to do with who God is. This God who wants to because He loves us. Not because of anything that we have done, simply because His character ignites it. This God wants to lift us up. And He wants to restore us. He wants to embrace us and He wants to protect us. He wants to imagine, commune with us. And He wants to do it in such a way that it is justifiable. It's correct. It's proper. He wants to do it in such a way that He can spread love upon us all and it would stand up in court of heaven. And it does, praise God. Now, we are not God, nor can we love in that manner. But we must be able to do it a little bit, somehow, some way, just a smidget, maybe. For God has called us to do that. He has not only called us, but He's put that kind of a love into us so that we could express that kind of agape love. And not only that, He's commanded us to love one another as He has loved us. So, we're to love one another. And then watch out, brethren, as we love one another, because sacrifice is on its way. And as I keep talking about the brethren, of course we have to understand this is speaking of the sister in two. Is there such a word? There's a sister in that starts with a C. That's not the right one. Is there one that starts with an S? I'm not sure. But this is to the sister in as well as to the brethren also. Watch out. This kind of love does not occur without sacrifice. The pastor has just preached eloquently on that recently. And then thirdly, this text says, we are to love one another above all things. 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, the first in line before anything else, this is top of the list, above all things, have fervent charity, that is godly love, among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I don't know of any text that expresses this better than 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. It speaks of it so eloquently. And you could write above your Bible, in 1 Corinthians 13, you could write a biblical definition of agape love. Well, this is probably the most complete definition that you will find of agape love. And when we're through looking at that, you tell me if this is something we should just not make much of. Let me read it. I'll read it quickly. But it's so important. Definition. Biblical definition of agape love, though I speak. And, you know, it'd be a good idea to put a name in here. I could say, though Albert speaks with the tongues of men and angels, but Albert isn't a very good biblical. I mean, you don't hear Albert in the scripture at all. It doesn't fit. Albert's in a can, but you don't find Albert in the Bible. Can I use one of your names? Are one of you brave enough that a biblical sounding name? Mark is a biblical sounding name. That's perfect. Thank you. All right. It will put more meaning to it. Though Mark speaks with the tongues of men and of angels and has not charity, he becomes as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though Mark has the gift of prophecy and understands all mysteries and all knowledge, and though he has all faith so that he could remove mountains and have not charity, Mark is nothing. And though Mark bestows all his goods to feed the poor, and though Mark gives his body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth him nothing. You get the idea. Wonderful. Wonderful description of this godly love that we are called to spread among ourselves. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Does not vaunt itself. In other words, it doesn't brag about itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. But rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. And endureth all things. And so forth. Read that text before you go to bed tonight. It's your homework assignment. And just read that through care. Put your name in there. And it helps to make the scripture more alive. And then you come down to the 13th verse. And speaks of the three essentials of the Christian experience. And you will agree. These are the three. The first one is faith. Can you imagine your Christian experience without faith? That is what you call an essential element. And the next word is hope. Can you imagine living your Christian life without hope? Hope that God is going to hear me. Hope that God is going to answer my prayers. Hope that God will pay the bills somehow. Hope that God will make me well. We can't imagine a Christian experience without hope. Those are two essential elements in the Christian experience. But as important as both of those are, our text says the most important one is charity, godly love, agape love. This kind of a love that flows from God Himself. So, lavishing godly love on the brethren is above everything else that we do. Before we start to minister, before we start to serve, before we start to do anything about it, love must be there. Oh my. I don't know about you. I've known you a short while and you all seem to be a very loving group. Maybe you don't need this stuff much. But I want to tell you, dear folks, I need this. Because I've been kicked and I've been scratched and I've been scraped. And I've shaken the hands of Christian people, Christian love. God bless you, brother. And you know the end of the story if you've been around for any length of time. Some endure that and weather it well because they just are sweet in nature. Some are a little bit more acidic and they don't weather it well. I need this. And I pray if you need this, that God would help you to work through all of that grime and that garbage and that anger and that disappointment and feeling so ill-used. And even so, love in this sacrificial, forgiving, godly way. So, fourthly, lavishing godly love on the brethren is heart and soul of our faith. Listen, God is love. Christ is love. The Holy Spirit is love. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. And Jesus said, love is the first commandment. And love is first on God's spiritual gifts, as we just read in 1 Corinthians 13. This is the kind of love that sent Jesus to the cross. Loving one another, brethren. Brethren loving one another is heart and soul of our faith. It is basic. It is fundamental in our Christian living. It is entrance level Christianity. It is above, first, above all things. This must be in place, is what Peter is teaching. It's heart and soul of our faith. And then, fifthly, we are to love the brethren with a love that, I love this, covers a multitude of sins. Our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. Though your sins be as scarlet, in Christ they are whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isn't that sweet? Wretches as we are, this agape love just covers them. Covers them. Christ's love for us has covered a multitude of sins. Then why is it that we hold on to unforgiveness like we do? Because we were so wrongly treated those many, many years ago. And some have said, I can never love that person. I can never forgive that person. That person is a great sinner. And yet we still know, isn't it a paradox? We still know that we are the greatest of all sinners. And He has covered our sins. Isn't that a blessing? He has covered the multitude of our sins. Aren't you grateful for that? He has eradicated our sins. He has erased our sins. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And He says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That's a wonderful thing when you think of the mind of God, the intellect of God, His capacities, and He chooses in all of that great capacity to forget it. The whole thing. Forget it. And you and I need to forgive one another. It's part of this wonderful agape love. Now, quickly, let me flesh this out, this loving the brethren. So you see a picture of it. This will stand up and walk around in front of you, and you will see it. Someone, an unknown author, has developed a list, and I don't know for the life of me what the purpose of this list was. But when I saw it, I thought how well this fits right in here. So I don't know what he had in mind, but I'm going to share this list. It's not my list, it's a list somebody else has produced. And so listen now to what the brethren, the loving brethren, who are going to spread their love among the other brethren, what it looks like, what this brother looks like. This brother will wash one another's feet in John 13:14. And they'll be devoted to one another in Romans 12:10. This brother will give preference to one another in honor in Romans 12:10. And believers who love one another will stop judging one another, Romans 14:13. Rather, you will see them building one another up in Romans 14:19. This loving, agape, loving brother will accept one another. And they will greet one another, Romans 16:16. And they will care for one another, 1 Corinthians 12:25. And they will serve one another through love, Galatians 5:13. And you will see believers who love one another bearing one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. And they will show forbearance to one another, Ephesians 4:2. They'll be kind to one another, Ephesians 4:32. This loving brother will be subject to one another. Imagine that. Ephesians 5:21. And they will regard one another with honor, preferring one another. Philippians 2:3. And they will not lie to one another. Colossians 3:9. They'll comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. They'll encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. They will be at peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. They will pursue good for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. And they will consider one another. Hebrews 10:25. And they will not speak against one another, James 4:11. And they will not complain about one another, James 5:9. And they will pray for one another, James 5:16. And they will be hospitable to one another. Now, this is a picture of the brethren, the loving brethren, the agape loving brethren, walking around in front of you, so all of us can see. And we want him to be walking around inside all of us. The text once again, and then I close. And above all things, way up there on the top of the list, the first in line, the first thing to be considered before anything else in our Christian experience, above all things, have fervent charity. Another word that can be put in there just as easily is have continuing charity. Agape love. Among yourselves, I love that, among yourselves. Let that love flow among yourselves, to one another, through one another, covering one another, preferring one another, supporting one another. And then it says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That's what brethren are supposed to do. I love you. I know of your sins. I'm not the judge and I'm not dealing with that. God will deal with it. I love you. That's the position. I remember once there was a problem between a gentleman and myself. He was a preacher also. And I won't go into the story, but I had not really done anything wrong, but there was a rift between us somehow. There was a misunderstanding. And so this gentleman was sick in the hospital one time, and so I went to visit him, and I thought, well, I just need to do this. So I asked his forgiveness because of this rift. You have to remember, I hadn't done anything. I asked him to forgive me, and he did. And I was glad, because it just covered a multitude of problems that were there between us. We are friends to this day. So God is calling us to love one another with that type of a wonderful agape love.